This morning, if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Joshua. Book of Joshua in chapter 24. It's, as those of you have heard me preach before, I usually stick to scripture that's somewhat familiar, and this is no exception to that. Joshua chapter 24. I'm going to read verses 1 through 28. Not going to keep you very long, but going to read through those just so you can get some background on this scripture and then have a few points to make this morning. Joshua chapter 24, starting in verse 1, it says this, "And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it, but Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I've done in Egypt, and ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam the son of Beor to curse you. But it would not hearken unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan, and it came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, Ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God, he is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods. Then will he turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, Nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, Ye are witnesses against yourselves, that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, We are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, The Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote those words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, Behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it had heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his inheritance. Let's go to the Lord one more time in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this beautiful morning that you've given us. Thank you for another opportunity, Lord, and the freedom that we have to come out into your house, to sing praises to you, to worship you. and to read your word and to fellowship one with another. Pray, Father, that your hand would be upon the rest of the service, that whatever is said and done will bring honor and glory to you. We thank you for your blessings, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, those that have been in church for any time period at all have probably heard this passage at least more than once, several times. Especially the part that says, "Choose you this day whom you'll serve." Message this morning is simply entitled, "It's Time to Make Up Your Mind." Because many times, myself included, we hear stories like this that we've heard so many times before that we just kind of look to it as a story and nothing more. We don't get the true message and the true meaning of what these stories are in our Bible for. So to give a little background, we see this verse that this time in the nation of Israel's history was a good time. We see that they were exciting times, and Joshua stands up in the middle of all this and starts talking to the people. We see that they've been brought through a lot. They came out of bondage in Egypt and went through and crossed the Red Sea and then wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and we see that no matter what came up against them, whether it was a great army, whether it was whatever trial and tribulation they went through, that God was there with them and brought them through it. And so they truly were exciting times because they'd been wandering around for so long, and yet now they had reached that which they'd been looking for. They'd reached that promised land, and they were ready to go into it, as the later parts of this verse and this passage say, that they were later to go into their inheritance. So it was exciting times, and Joshua starts this passage off talking about all these things that they'd gone through. But not only was it an exciting time, it was also a dangerous time for them, and you might question why I would say that. It was dangerous because those that were alive at this time weren't the ones who had been brought out of Egypt. They had already all passed away during the wandering around in the wilderness. So this was a new generation. This was a generation that hadn't experienced that captivity. The only thing that they had known was the provision of God and the providing hand of God. It was dangerous times because they were living in a land, and they had gone through several lands where the people didn't worship their God. They worshiped other gods. It was dangerous because, just as many others had done, they were susceptible to turning from their God to these gods, and they were susceptible from forgetting where they'd come from and everything that God had brought them through. So it truly was a dangerous time, even though it was exciting for them. Just as it was dangerous for them in this day, it's also dangerous for us in the church today, because we live in a world that you can just turn on the TV or whatever you want to do and see that it's a world that doesn't really follow this book. It's a world that doesn't follow the things of God and serves God for the most part. And because of that, we are living right in the midst of that. It's easy, if you're not faithful to God and not strong in the things that He has taught you, to get caught up in those things that the world would have you to. So it is dangerous for us as well. So although this is a story and a Bible story, some would look at it as just a Sunday school story. Its message and the message that's contained therein is something that is just as prevalent and just as pertinent to us in the church today as it was for the Israelites back then. So I have a few points this morning talking about this message and this passage and talking about making up your mind. First of all, the first part of this chapter we see in verses 1 through 13 that this, for the time and the nation of Israel, was a time of contemplation. To contemplate something just simply means to look back on it, to think about it. We see that Joshua stands up and he starts talking about everything that the Lord had brought them through. I won't go through all those things again, but it talks about bringing them out of Egypt, about having to use the plagues to convince Pharaoh to bring them out. And then just when they thought the hard times were over, they come to the Red Sea and they're blocked. And then they look in the midst and behind them and they see a great cloud of dust because Pharaoh has changed his mind. And he's pursuing them and he's got his armies with him and he's coming after them. It seems that all hope is lost because in front of them's the sea, behind them's the army, there's nowhere for them to go. But we see, of course, God divides the sea and they cross, and then he makes the sea fall upon the Pharaoh and his army when they try to cross too. and so they're delivered from his hand. We also see many times these many lands that they were coming into, like Jericho and others, where these great walled cities that had these great armies, and yet they fell right before them. They fell to their hand. And God gave them victory after victory in all these lands. We see that when a time came that they got hungry, that God provided for them with manna in the wilderness. We see that when they got thirsty, he drew water out of a rock to give them water. So they're looking back and they're thinking back on all these things. And as I've already said, first of all, it was a time to contemplate God's power in their lives and the power that he had displayed over them, because truly he was so powerful. If there had just been one story out of this long period of time in their history, it still would have shown how great and powerful he was. But yet there's story after story after story of his provision, of his deliverance, so many things that he had done for them. So they were contemplating God's power in their lives. They were also contemplating his presence, because even when they were in Egypt, God was still right there with them, and he had never left them. If you read back into the story of their wandering in the wilderness and wandering to the promised land in their journey, we see that God led them during the day by a cloud and by night by a pillar of fire. So he was right there in front of them, leading them and showing them the way. He'd never left them. I've already talked about how he provided for them, but they contemplated his provision in their lives as well. He provided food, he provided water, he provided victory in battle. He'd given them a place to sleep. So many things that God had done for them that they were thinking about, that they were contemplating about. So it seems hard to believe, at least for me, that in light of all these things that God had done, that the children of Israel would ever even think about turning against God. But we see time and time again throughout their history, there's a pattern that's followed where there's a period of service to God, and there's a period where they turn from God, and when they go into captivity again, and when God's cursing, as Joshua tells them, if they turn their back on God, he will unleash his curses upon them. So we see this time and time again when they forget everything that God has done for them. So the first part of this passage talks about a time of contemplation, or a time of remembrance. Secondly, we see in verse 14, the part that's probably most familiar to us is not only a time of contemplation, but a time of confrontation. Starting in verse 14, we see that the people are confronted by a command. Joshua stands up, he tells them everything that God has done for him, and then he gives them a command. He doesn't just stop there, he gives them this command. And this command has three parts to it. First of all, in verse 14, we see that it says, "Now therefore fear the Lord." So he tells them to fear God, first part of that command. Secondly, it tells them to serve in sincerity and in truth. And then lastly, it tells them to put away the gods of those that were around them. So we see that Joshua gives them this command. He tells them to fear God, to serve him, and then to put away all these other gods that they had perhaps tucked along in their belongings and had brought along with them from these other lands. So he gives them a command. Secondly, we see that in verse 15, they're confronted by a choice. Verse 15, that familiar verse to us, it says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites." Joshua simply, he not only gives them this command, but then he gives them a choice. Because it really is, when you look at the great scheme of things and the great ideas of things as far as those eternal truths that matter, there's really only two choices. You'll either serve God or you'll choose to not serve him. Those gods that you serve may not be made of stone, just as some of these gods that they brought along with them. It could be anything. It could be your job, could be your money, could be whatever, you name it, you plug it in. Anything that you put on a level higher than God, those are gods in your life. And you have a choice. Just as the children of Israel had a choice to serve God or to serve those gods that were around them, you have a choice to serve one or the other. The Bible tells later on, and they compare it to straddling a fence. If you straddle a fence, you can't be completely in the middle serving both sides. You're either going to be more on one side or more on the other. You can't just be in the middle. You have to choose to serve one or the other. So they're given a choice, but Joshua doesn't leave it there. He then gives them a challenge. The last part of that verse simply says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You know, that's a nice little phrase. It's something that a lot of people have had embroidered onto pillows or put onto plaques and hang on their wall in their house. But are they truly living that way? "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua lived by example, because it's one thing for someone to tell you to do this, but then if they're not willing to do it themselves, it's not much of an example. It's not much of a leader. When you study leadership and you look at things like this, part of being a leader is also being a servant, because you shouldn't tell someone or command someone to do something that you're not also willing to do yourself. So we see that Joshua gives them a command, he gives them a choice, he also gives them a challenge. Many times, as I've already said, we like to quote that verse, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord," but we don't want to live that verse. A lot of people have children that are away from the Lord, or children that are rebellious against them, and they'll say something to the effect of, "Well, you know, they're their own person. They're going to make up their mind to do whatever they want to do." That may be the case, but as long as they're under your household, you are responsible for the lives that they live. You're responsible for helping them to see the way that they need to go. As parents, as grandparents, maybe as aunts and uncles, if you don't have any children or grandchildren, one day you will stand before God and you'll have to give an account for how you lived your life before your children and your grandchildren. Do they see, as that old song says, "Do others see Jesus in you? Do they see Jesus in you?" That's the greatest testimony that you can ever have, is the life that you live before them. Just as Joshua did, it's one thing to say something, to say, "I'm going to do this." It's another thing altogether to actually do it and to live that example. So there's a choice. Children of Israel were faced with a choice. They looked back on everything that God had done for them. They had that time of contemplation. They had that time of confrontation when Joshua told them what they needed to do and gave them that choice. Lastly, we see that in the latter part of this passage that there was a time of consecration. Anytime there was a great victory, there was anything that the people of Israel wanted to remember, if you look back on these different stories, you'll see that anytime that they did this, they would often make a memorial to remember what God had done for them. They would take stones and they'd make an altar there in the middle of wherever they were at. And many times the name of the place was changed to reflect what God had done for them there. There was no difference in this, because Joshua gave them this choice. He gave them this command and then he gave them this choice. And children of Israel chose to serve the Lord. Joshua warns them. He said, you know, it's not a light decision. It's not something that you can just say, "I'm going to do this," and then not do it. Because if you don't do it, just as real as God's blessing and God's hand of blessing has been upon you, his hand of cursing is just as real. And he'll pour out that cursing upon you if you turn against him. You know, many times we don't like to look at that side of God. We just like to look at the side of God that gives us what we need and that pulls us through our troubles. But there is a side of God that, as verse 19 says he's a holy God. He's on a level of holiness that we'll never be able to attain until we are in his presence in glory. Verse 19 also says that he's a jealous God and he will not forgive your transgressions. He alone is worthy of our praise and of our worship. If you're worshiping other things, like I said, you may not be bowing down to an idol in your home, but if you have something that you're placing on a level higher than him, then you're worshiping other idols. You're putting things higher than him. So we have this time of consecration. We see the resolve of the people. They chose, despite the warning, they chose to worship God and they chose to follow him. We see then that Joshua sets up this reminder. He sets up this altar, this stone. That way every time they would look on it, they would remember, that's the time and that's the place I made that decision to serve God. When their children were growing up, they would be able to point to them and say, that's the time when we as a people chose to follow God. You should do the same. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So there's a time and a choice that's given to all of us. You know, many of us have been in church pretty much all of our lives. I know I've often joked and said that I was pretty much born in church, because truly from day one when I was brought home, I was brought up in church. And I thank God for that. But many of us who have been brought up in church often fall prey to the fact that we get caught up in the whole realm of things. We get basically in a habit of coming to church and habit of doing the things that go along with that. But then outside of the church, we're not living for God. Like I said, we're working 5-6 days a week at that job, trying to get ahead in the job, trying to get more money. All of us at times are guilty of that. All of us at times are guilty of putting things above God. All of us at times are guilty of serving those things that, like I said, it may not be a statue made out of stone or gold in your house that you bow down to. But if there's anything in your life, in your household, that you have in a place higher than God, the Bible says that you have to choose. Children of Israel had to choose. Joshua gave them that choice, and then he gave them that example of his own life. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What about you? As for you and your house, what are you going to do? Because you have a choice just like the children of Israel. I've already talked about, and I've talked about many times before, that we live in a troubled world. You can look around you, you see violence, you see things on TV that 10, 15 years ago, you wouldn't see on TV. Because people would have spoken out against it. But now, they're just commonplace. Many times, even myself included, I'll see something on TV, I'll hear something on the news or on a movie on TV, and I'll be like, did they just say what I think they just said? Or it won't even cross my mind because I'll be caught up in something else. And it's become so commonplace that we just ignore it. So we have a choice. I already said the title of the message was, it's time to make up your mind. It is time to make up your mind. You know, I often say that the Lord could come before we leave the doors this morning. He could call us home. The Bible says that He'll descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet Him in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord. It says that no man knows the hour. It could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could be 50 years from now. You can look around you and you can see, as the Bible puts it, signs of the times. The Apostle Paul and others have been looking for His return since day one, since the day that He ascended into glory and left them there with the command to go into the world and win lost souls to Him. They've been looking for Him for 2,000 years, over 2,000 years. They were just as sure that He was going to return in their lifetime as perhaps we are today. His coming is soon, I believe. I believe it is. Regardless of that, like I said, all of us at one day will have to kneel before God. He's going to replay everything that we've ever done in the time that He's given to us, because whether you live to be 100, whether you live to be 70, whether you live to be 30, you have to give an account for every second of every day that He's given you. Because each breath that you take, each beat of your heart, is a gift from Him. It's a gift for Him, from Him to you, for you to serve Him. So what are you going to do with the time that He's given you? We have a choice. You can either serve Him with it, or you can serve something else. But one day you'll have to give an answer for that. Maybe you have a child at home or that's grown that isn't serving the Lord. Maybe you have a grandchild. Maybe whatever it may be. Maybe you have a friend, a neighbor. Have you told them about the Lord? And I know I've said before, it can be one of the most intimidating things to go up to someone and say, let me tell you about Jesus. Some people have said, I can't do that. I can't do that. I'm too shy. I don't know what to say. If you pray about it and say, Lord, give me the words to say, He'll speak through you. And before you know it, you'll be talking for an hour on end, talking about what the Lord has done, because that's simply all you have to do is tell them what the Lord has done for you. I talked about how Jesus gave that command to His disciples when He ascended into heaven to go into all the world, teaching about the things that He had done and winning those lost souls to Him, because that is the only reason that we're left here on this earth, is to win lost souls to Him. So you have a choice to make. Are you going to serve God, or are you going to serve something else? Because you can't serve both. You can't straddle that fence. You have to choose one or the other.